Welcome to the Live Longer World podcast, where we have conversations with scientists, entrepreneurs, investors, and other advocates transforming the field of aging and longevity science. We bring you information on how you can be disease-free, reverse aging, and maximize longevity now and in the future. I am Astha Jain, the host of the Live Longer World podcast. Besides this podcast, I also create other content on longevity science. I write a newsletter and have a YouTube where I distill the basics of longevity science and discuss how to maximize health span and incorporate longevity practices into your lifestyle. You can find these resources on my website. Head over to livelongerworld.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at livelongerworld, Instagram at longevityfuture, and support my work through Patreon, which is simply patreon.com/livelongerworld. All these links and resources are also included in the show notes. With that, let's get started with today's episode. My guest today is Carolina Oliveira, who is the founder and CEO of OneSkin Technologies. OneSkin is not just a skincare company, they call themselves a longevity company. Their first product is a topical supplement which, when applied to your skin, actually clears away senescent cells in your skin, or at least slows down the progression of senescent cells. And as we discussed in a previous episode, senescent cells tend to accumulate with age. These are cells that don't divide, but release toxic chemicals and in the process harm the cells around them too. So clearing away senescent cells with age helps boost longevity. So in this conversation with Carolina, we obviously spoke about skin aging, what healthy skin aging looks like. We spoke about Senolytics and how her product compares to other senolytic therapies. And we also discussed other supplements such as retinol that are used in skincare products. This is a wide-ranging conversation, and Carolina has a brilliant scientific as well as an entrepreneurial mind. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with me and Carolina.
Hello, Carolina, and thank you so much for your time today, and welcome to the Live Longer World podcast.
Hello, Asta. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, no, thank you. Appreciate it. So by the way, I think before we start, I want to ask you, your skin looks great. So what product have you been using?
Well, I'm using this, you know, new product that was launched this year. It's the best one. It's called OneSkin. So if you haven't tried yet, you need to check this, you know. After this, you don't need like many products. One product solve your problems, and you don't need more filters, you know, when you have like Zoom meetings. It's all your natural skin.
Well, that sounds great. I definitely have to get my hands on it. But no, I'm also excited to talk to you because my mom, in fact, just 2 days ago, she was asking me, she's like, well, you know, you've been doing all this aging stuff and that's great, but my skin has started getting wrinkles. What do I do about that? I said, I'll have to look into that. And I guess I found the solution. So being a classic, I guess, Indian child, we're trying to, you know, look good in our parents' eyes. So that should be a tick.
Awesome. And that's how you found us, like looking for a product to your mom or no?
No, I think I'd like come across you before that as well.
Okay, okay.
But I started doing a lot more research on that. So that's good. I'm very excited to hear about it. So I think a good place to start would be, you have in the past mentioned that, well, skin is the largest organ in our body, but it's often been overlooked in longevity research. So maybe why don't you tell us a bit about what is skin aging and perhaps why it's been overlooked, and then we can dive into what your company OneSkin is doing to actually reverse some of that skin damage.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so basically when we started studying skin aging, we realized that, you know, the same mechanisms that are behind skin aging is also behind in now other tissues aging. So we were interested in the accumulation of, you know, damaged senescent cells that has been regarded as, you know, a central event in aging. And a lot of studies have also shown that if we can eliminate those cells, you know, from tissues and from the whole organism, we can recover, we can rejuvenate, mouse, and then we can kind of, you know, restore the functionality of that tissue and, you know, the whole organism. And what we realize is that, you know, one of the main, I would say, problems of senescent cells is that they start secreting those inflammatory signals, right? What we call CESP. So the senescent cells itself, I would say, is not so bad, but when they start secreting those factors, they basically induce other cells around to become senescent, to enter in this senescent state. So they work like a bad apple in a basket, spoiling, you know, the bad, the good apples around. And if you think that those senescent cells are accumulating our skin, and if you think of the size of the organ, you know, that skin is, when that inflammation that's being secreted like build up and then it gets to your bloodstream, that can really, you know, impact the onset of other chronic diseases and even can be related to mortality risks. So it's very interesting when we see studies, for example, of people that have psoriasis or other, you know, inflammatory skin conditions that they have like higher chances to develop cardiovascular diseases. And that's basically, you know, inflammation that's coming from your skin. But the same happens when your skin ages, you know, the skin barriers gets weaker, and then you have, you know, that release of inflammation into your body, into your bloodstream, that can be, you know, affecting, you know, the onset of those chronic diseases. So for us, when we saw that, was kind of, you know, an aha moment, because no one thinks about treating your skin to improve your body's health or even to prevent, obviously, cardiovascular disease. But obviously, everything is interconnected, but it makes sense that, you know, your largest organ would have a huge influence in your body's health. And that's kind of, you know, the messaging that we are bringing here at One Skin in terms of bringing awareness about the importance of skin health, you know, beyond the, you know, appearance, beyond aesthetics, but also, you know, to improve and to be another step of, you know, having your healthiest, you know, life as you age. So
that's good. It's also one of the simplest analogies and explanations of cellular senescence that I've heard. I'm curious, you mentioned not other people look at skin as the organ to be targeting senescent cells. Is there a hypothesis you have around why it's been overlooked? Is there maybe perhaps different organs that tend to accumulate more senescent cells than others, and maybe skin is not one of those? Is there a concentration in particular organs of senescent cells that you see?
Yeah, that's a great point. The concentration, again, is not so high. The studies have shown that it's probably about, you know, the highest at 5%, and even though it's very damaged, it could be a little higher than that. But again, even 5% of senescent cells and throughout your whole, you know, skin, these can, you know, that the inflammation secreted, this can significantly impact your body's health. Now, why it's being overlooked, I think for two reasons. Obviously, senescent cells is a very, new concept to be explored to target aging and age reversal. So the skincare industry has not yet, you know, absorbed that type of, you know, concept and strategy. And the same that we have now in our healthcare system that we are used to treat on the symptoms, you know, with, you know, drugs that will treat your symptoms, the skincare industry is used to do the same, right? So the treatments and the products are designed to treat the symptoms and not the cause. So you see, for example, Botox or laser or acids that will, you know, peel off your skin. So you grow a new skin, but doesn't mean that you are growing a younger skin, right? Because you are just, you know, inducing cell renewal, but you are not targeting the, you know, the damaged cells that are really driving the aging process, I would say, in the cellular level. So the strategy that we are bringing, it's much more targeted, is specific on the damaged cells, that what's really causing, you know, the aging to accelerate in the tissue, while the current strategy is basically inducing like a cell renewal, a skin renewal, without targeting, you know, where it's the cause of the problem.
I see. Okay. That's a great point, though, that even if it's 5%, the thing with senescent cells, as you mentioned, is that they secrete these inflammatory cytokines, and they just, yeah, it's like a bad apple, affects everything. So the 5% could honestly just spread to 100%. So yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Imagine like if you have, you know, a heart that, you know, is this size, and if you put all of the weight of your skin together, you know, the impact from the skin can be higher than, you know, an organ that has, you know, a higher concentration of senescent cells.
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned cell renewal and targeting the skin and clearing senescent cells from your skin as your company strategy. I guess why don't you just tell us a bit about the product and how it's actually targeting the cell renewal?
Yes, sure. So initially, we were looking to test products that were available in the market, and we were able to grow skins that were replicating aged skins. And we decided to measure the biological age change when we treat a skin in the lab with a product. So basically by measuring the DNA, you know, that we can correlate you know, change in the methylation with chronological age, which can build an algorithm. These are the molecular clocks that we use, you know, to assess tissues' biological age. And we created our own skin-specific molecular clock just to measure change in the biological age. Eventually, we realized that, again, there wasn't a product designed to target aged cells in the skin. So we start screening new peptides using models that contain a high amount of senescent cells. So after testing over 1,000 of peptides, we got to this new peptide OS1 that's able to reduce up to 40-50% the total amount of senescent cells. We have tested the models of progeria. That's an accelerated aging model. We have tested the model of UVB damage. So we induce, you know, senescent cells by exposing the cells to UVB and other like chemical treatments, for example, adipocytes. And then once we treat the cells with this peptide, we can measure, you know, through beta-galactosidase or through other markers, and we can see that there is a very significant decrease in the number of senescent cells and the production of other, you know, cytokines related to inflammation, such as IL-6, IL-8, and other CESP factors. So once we got to this peptide and then we validated the safety, because this is a new peptide, it's only 10 amino acids, but we needed to make sure that it wouldn't cause any toxicity. We needed to really clear all the safety profile. So we have done studies about, you know, mutagenesis, karyotyping, the toxicity in different cell types, different concentrations. We have done like human sensitization studies to see if the peptide could cause any sensitization. And then once everything was clear, we decided to formulate this product on a topical formulation. We then tested if the formulation applied to a skin. We can use the skin biopsies in the labs, and we can see if the peptide penetrates into the, you know, derms. That's kind of, you know, the inner layer of the skin that contains the fibroblasts and that produce collagen. So we want the peptide to penetrate it, to obviously work from the inside out. We could quantify the penetration, and then we worked on optimizing the formulation before we launched it to consumers. So it was almost like 5 years developing all the science, you know, all the validation in terms of safety, efficacy. We've done clinical studies, and then obviously we worked a lot on, you know, the formulation itself, the branding, the packaging, until we could, you know, finally bring it to consumers. Yeah, but it's been very interesting to see that when you put a lot of time and you have a very, I would say, clear rationale behind, you know, your product development, the translation when we bring it to people is that people will perceive the benefits, because everything here was so well thought that now is translating, you know, in improving people's health in different ways. Like, we obviously improve their appearance. Everyone, like, when they look, when they buy our product, I know that they are looking to improve their appearance. But we see people with eczema, you know, improving like their problems. We see people with redness, sometimes rosacea. So it's interesting to see when you target like unhealthy skin or aging skin, you both like recover, obviously, you know, the younger appearance, but also I would say the healthy state in terms of function and balance, you know, from the skin.
That's great. That's such a unique way to increasing health span for people and healthy aging. And I just want to clarify for our listeners, all the science and the 5 years of research you've done has resulted in a product which is your first one, OS1, for one skin. And it's a topical cream which you recommend applying twice a day. And it just, this cream that, as you mentioned, penetrates your skin and is causing healthy aging from the inside out. Exactly. Two questions.
Perfectly said.
Good. So two questions I had on that. Have you tested it on all skin types? I just wonder, does it work on, you know, Asians versus Americans versus, I mean, yeah, all ethnicities? And also you mentioned you've seen some results where it's 40 to 50% clearance of senescent cells. Is there a timeline? Like, how long does that take for me to see that reduction?
Yeah, that's a great point. So in terms of ethnicities, yes, we have cells from donors that are Afro-American, Asian, and Hispanic, you know, besides Caucasian. And we have grown skins that replicates those ethnicities, and we have tested on those skins. And yes, we do see an effect in all of them. Obviously, you see some more pronounced than the others. It depends, you know, Caucasian, they age faster, so you see like, you know, a bigger impact. Asian, they age slower, but we still see an impact. And, you know, it can work also, you know, preventing the accumulation of senescent cells. So yeah, that's a great point that yes, it works for, you know, different ethnicities. And also because in the end, we are targeting a mechanism that, you know, everyone will go through this process of aging, right? So everyone will build senescent cells, some will build more, you know, faster, some will be slower, but it should work. People should see benefits, you know, some soon, some later, but it should work for basically everyone. Obviously, there are some skin types that, you know, will work better than others. But in general, I would say that the rate of acceptance about the product is pretty high.
It doesn't have any negative side effects for any type.
Yeah, it's very rare when we see someone that has some kind of reaction to our product. Our formulation, the ingredients that we added, they were very well selected in order to only promote benefits, like to not have any, you know, potential irritation, you know, sensitization side effects. So that's why we have like, people are liking the product, they are sticking around because most of them adapt very well to the formula itself. That's also very important, right? Some people think that, you know, you find the ingredient and it's easy, just apply that ingredient on your face. For example, when Phycetin was, you know, getting a lot of hype, people start putting Phycetin on their face. And it's not how it works, you know, like the penetration, you have it, you have a combination of, you know, ingredients in a emulsion that will allow the penetration and that will allow the stability of the molecule. All of these need to be tested. So
that's a great
and in the end the whole formulation needs to be gentle, needs to be, you know, safe to your skin, right? We don't want to cause harm, you want to only bring benefits. And now the second question is about the elimination of senescent cells. So unfortunately it's hard to measure that in vivo. So in vitro, we have some models that we treat for 48 hours, and then we see like 20-30% decrease. But in vivo, I can't really say. What I can say is that's kind of a gradual and accumulative kind of effect. So the more that you use, if you have the peptide will help your cells to repair more damage. So you don't accumulate senescent cells, and also helps, you know, eliminating partially, you know, the senescent cells that you already have established. It's not like a completely senolytic molecule. It's not going to clear 100% of senescent cells. It's kind of, I wouldn't say that it's a mild, depend on the, you know, the model that we test is a pretty significant effect. But it's more like a consistent and cumulative effect that you see the improvement over time. Also because anything that would cause, you know, I would say a huge disruption in your tissue, you know, eliminating a lot of senescent cells, usually they eliminate also non-senescent cells, so they have some side effects. And this definitely wouldn't be, you know, a safe cosmetic to bring to the market. So we always need to be careful of bringing something that, you know, is efficient, but also, you know, doesn't disrupt, you know, the homeostasis of your tissue. We want to keep, you know, that safety profile very, you know, clear.
I agree with you. It sounds like it becomes a challenge to specifically target those harmful senescent cells, and you especially don't want to eliminate the non-senescent ones process.
And even you don't want to eliminate 100%, you know, a little bit of senescent cells, they are important on wound healing. So it's obviously, you know, a balance. And we don't want them to build up too much because they start to be harmful. So our peptide, it works in a way that, you know, decreases that level, doesn't eliminate 100%, but again, improves the efficiency of your cells to be in a healthy and younger state for longer.
I see. Okay. So actually, that was going to be one of my questions. So it sounds like it's a bit of a prevention strategy plus clearing away senescent cells. So it prevents your cells from becoming senescent too quickly, but it also can clear away some of the senescent cells, is what your research has shown so far.
Yeah, we are now, it's very hard to track when you are really, you know, the senescent cells are being cleared out. But we are now running an experiment that we are going to do like a cell live imaging. So we can track, you know, one senescent cells and, you know, over time, make sure that that cell is like dying. So far, we didn't have the equipment to do that. But based on the mechanism that we are, you know, understanding that, you know, our peptide works, and based on the total cell number, because when we treat the cells, the total cell number doesn't change. So it means that if it was a clear senolytic, the total cell number would decrease because you are basically eliminating all the senescent cells. In our case, what we believe we are eliminating partially, and partially is of the, you know, healthy cells are proliferating. So you keep, you know, the same number of senescent cells. But yeah, we are still trying to really track to make sure that we can say, yes, is clearing out this percentage of senescent cells. And this is the percentage that's replicating. What we have right now is before treatment, after treatment, we measure, we know that decreases. What's happening here, a lot of pathways are being activated. We know that we activate some longevity pathways, we deactivate some inflammatory pathways, but exactly how the cells are dying, it's a little tricky to show, but we are getting there.
Yeah, no, I'm very curious to see the results when you get there. I'm sure it's optimistic, yeah. But I mean, even so far, you have seen promising results in terms, yeah, of, as you mentioned, longevity pathways being activated. And I think one of your studies in which you did in C. elegans, granted it's not humans, but showed that there was also an increase in median lifespan by 14%, and some health span markers also increased. So maybe why don't you talk a bit about that? And I also believe you started a human clinical trial, so I'm not sure if you have any results from that you can share.
Yes, so about the C. elegans, what is interesting, because again, if we were only targeting senescent cells, a specific pathway of senescent cells, it shouldn't work for C. elegans. C. elegans, you know, are not, don't accumulate senescent cells. So it's a mechanism that's more like on DNA repair and, you know, deactivating some pathways that are related to inflammation. That obviously leads to senescence, but it's not the classic, you know, senescent pathways. And the interesting part of like running these experiments with C. elegans is that obviously C. elegans are very different from skin. And it's showing that if it's working for C. elegans, it has, you know, the potential to work for other tissues and, you know, potentially, I don't know, systemically in humans. But it really shows that we are targeting one important mechanism that's related to aging. If it's work on C. elegans, works in skin, you know, can have, I'd say, several other applications down the line. And yeah, we saw this experiment. We repeated at least 6 times in different, you know, labs that were partners. So we didn't perform this study ourselves. And we saw up to 21%, I think on average was 16% of increase in the median lifespan. But more interesting, as you said, was the increase in the motility of the worms. So we have very cool videos when we show that the worms that were being fed with OS1, they were much more active, you know, even on, I'd say, mid to late stages of their lives, while the ones that were not, you know, treated with OS1, they were, you know, almost like they couldn't move. They were very, you know, basically static. And even like if they die at the same, you know, similar, I would say, time point, if you have a life here that's full of energy, that's what we want in the end, right? Mm-hmm. So we were very excited about this health span improvement in this specific marker of motility. And the company that ran this study, Nima Life, they have tested like several other molecules that are considered, you know, to be lifespan or health span, you know, they can extend lifespan or health span. And they were really impressed by the data that they saw with our peptide. So this is very encouraging. I hope eventually we can have a OS1, you know, to treat our bodies systemically so we can also have a lot of energy and kind of, you know, long-term vision for a more preventative type of therapy.
That's good. Yeah, I think at least in my mind, you know, the thing with senescent cells is that even as you said, even if it's not completely clearing them out, even if it's preventing the accumulation of it, it sounds big just because it's such a, it's intertwined in our bodies where the accumulation of senescent cells causes the other ones to become senescent, which means there's all this DNA damage that's happening. It becomes much harder to repair, especially as you age. So it just seems like a very vicious cycle to me. And if you can just slow the accumulation, at least it can, it has more compounding effects than just, you know, clearing away one thing.
Yes, it is exactly about this compounding effects, you know, over time that will make a huge difference down the line if you're gonna, you know, develop a chronic disease on your 60 or near, or when you're like 90s, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. So I guess one thing you had mentioned earlier was that fisetine, which had become popular, and then I think some of the other ones are retinol, which is, I guess, considered the gold standard right now in skin aging, and maybe that's going to change. How does OS1 peptide compare to that? And why can't I just be taking fisetine or quercetin, one of those other natural ones?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We have even tested them in vitro. We see that fisetine in vitro, it decreases up to 20% in the amount of senescent cells. But some of those molecules, they have like a few challenges in terms of penetration through the skin. Fisetine has also a color that it could make your skin, you know, a little bit orange.
Someone's looking for that then.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you need to test the stability. So a lot of those natural products also to have them in a purity that is considered, you know, satisfying enough to put in a cream is challenging. A lot of those process of, you know, extraction, they use some harsh chemicals. So to have the final, I'd say, compound very clean and pure to add in a product is a bit of a challenge as well. So it's not that they couldn't be used. We did have tested them in the lab, and we even combined them with our peptide, and in the end, our peptide by itself was, you know, working better. And we, if we don't need to deal, you know, with kind of, you know, the safety of, you know, having an impure molecule, or if you need to test the penetration, because it only makes sense to add something that's going to be penetrating to your skin, it's going to really, you know, deliver benefits there. So that's why we decided, you know, we tested a lot of molecules, but we decided to, you know, focus primarily on our peptide that was, you know, able to deliver like great results, no side effects, and also could penetrate into the skin. And I think you asked a different, what was the next question? You also mentioned about retinol, right? So yeah, retinol or retinoic acid was interesting because we start testing it as a positive control since it's considered, you know, the gold standard molecule in anti-aging products, and you see it everywhere. And then we did both. We both added retinol in the media. So the skins are being cultured in an interface air liquid, and we added the retinol here, or we apply retinol topically. And when we analyze both like the gene expression or the histology of the skin, the histology is pretty clear. We see that the upper layers start to come out like a peeling effect, exactly what we feel when we, you know, are applying retinol. And then when we checked the gene expression, some genes that are related to aging, like P21 and P16, they were going up instead of going down. And then I was like, wow, I was using retinol because, you know, I had acne, and eventually, you know, it's supposed to be good for anti-aging. And then, okay, I'm going to stop using this right now because even so, what we believe is that there will be a peak if you use retinoid, mainly if it's a little harsh and kind of, you know, cause some redness, you can have a spike of, you know, some genes related to inflammation and aging. When you stop using or when your skin recovers, those levels can go down. So in the end, what we realize, okay, if we have a molecule that instead of, you know, targeting a process that's, you know, removing the upper layers of your skin, that works from the inside out, that works better and doesn't have the side effects, I would go for that option, right? And, you know, that's why we chose to only work with OS1. And but again, so if some people still want to use retinol, my only recommendation is that don't overuse it. You know, don't have your skin like peeling out the whole time. Also, because you only have so many stem cells in your skin to replace those cells that you are renewing. So eventually, if you use retinol for like 30 years of your life, you can get in the end a very thin skin, a skin that's more sensitive, because when you are renewing your skin, you basically you are basically getting rid of the skin barrier. That's like the upper layer of your skin that protects your skin against, you know, infections and so on. So you can get some, I think you can, what I want to say is that you can compromise your skin health in the long term if you overuse, you know, retinol, acids, you know, any harsh treatment in general should be, you know, we should look at them with like some cautious.
That's a very good point, and that's interesting. I didn't know about that, because I do think a lot of these products seem to be very promising in the short term, but you don't know what the long-term consequences can be.
Yeah. And anything that you see that, you know, if it's inducing a lot of inflammation, you know, it's not good for you in the long term, you know, like that inflammation, it's really causing some damage, you know, underneath in your tissue. And it's basically, you know, creating an environment that, you know, it's good for senescent cells, because, yeah, if you have inflammation, it's kind of, you know, that feed forward loop, right, that it's easier to have more senescent cells instead of when you recover, you know, to the, your tissue to a healthy, low inflammation state. That's not where, you know, senescent cells will thrive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, so if not, say, retinol or fisetine, what about if I just take one of the other senolytic drugs? Because I had Reason, this founder of Repair Biotechnologies, on the podcast 2 weeks ago, and he was talking to me about the promising effects of senolytic drugs, and a lot of people are already using them just off the shelf, off label, and they've anecdotally, and maybe I guess you test some biomarkers too, they've been showing good results. So why can't I just pop in one of these pills instead of, I guess, using a topical cream?
Yeah, I mean, you could, you know, pop some of those potential senolytics that are naturally derived, right? You know, fisetine or quercetin. Obviously, there are some risks that we are still not aware, you know, so, you know, clinical studies are still ongoing. But what we believe is that, you know, to have your healthiest skin and even, you know, your healthiest body, you need both a strategy that's internally and that's like, you know, also topically. When you treat your skin topically, you guarantee that, you know, those ingredients, they are, you know, reaching the site that you want to treat. And for example, hydration and moisturizing is a very important, you know, thing to keep a healthy skin. And even if you drink a lot of water, your skin will need, still need, you know, some product that will keep your skin hydrated. So I believe the best strategy is a two-way strategy, you know, it's kind of, you know, the inside out and the outside in. And when you treat topically, you are guaranteeing that that specific ingredient is reaching, you know, the tissue, the target that you want to treat. A lot of times it's important like to have, you know, a diet rich on vitamin C and, you know, potentially even, you know, senolytics if you want to add. It could help. It could help your overall, you know, body, but doesn't mean that you don't need a treatment that, you know, it's applied direct to the site that you are looking to improve.
I see. Okay. So it's more like OneSkin's product is, I mean, directly targeting skin aging, which obviously, as we discussed, helps prevent accumulation of senescent cells elsewhere in the body too. But you can almost ensure that at least your skin is being protected from from aging early.
Yeah, and a lot of what drives skin aging is also sun damage, right? And there is so much that you can eat that will improve that will make your skin, you know, I would say, strong to, you know, to prevent sun damage. And obviously, you know, one of the best ways to prevent sun damage is sunscreen. But eventually, when you get to, you know, to accumulate some damage, you need the products that helps like repairing that damage. So again, you don't accumulate aged cells and senescent cells in your body. So definitely there is still a need for topical products. I think that's the main point.
Absolutely. No, I'm really stupid. I played a lot of basketball in India growing up under the sun and had this weird theory where every time I'd put sunscreen, I never played well. So it was unlucky. I never wore sunscreen growing up. Yeah, that was really dumb. Now I've learned my lesson. Now I wear sunscreen, but I think I saw some skin damage definitely.
Yeah, and that's another interesting. A lot of people that play, you know, grew up playing whatever sport, tennis or so on, they are looking like for age reversal treatments to, you know, repair some damage. And that's how they find OneSkin sometimes, you know, and then they start using and they see improvements, you know, kind of dark spots and the skin that is a little more affected by sun damage. So it's good to see that at least there is a possibility of, you know, reversing it, you know, partially of this damage that you have accumulated over the years.
So I guess, is there a good age to start applying this cream? As in, like, should I wait till I'm a little older, 30, 40 or something, or should I start earlier?
Yeah, I usually say that the best way to treat aging is to prevent, right? So it's easier to prevent than reverse. And again, this cream, this peptide works both like to help your skin to be more efficient repairing damage so you don't get to age or you slow the aging process. So usually we say around like 25 would be a good age because you need a moisturizer anyways. This one is a moisturizer that will also help your skin, you know, prevent aging. It's definitely better than what they call like preventative Botox that, it's kind of nonsense for me. But when you have your tissues and your cells, you know, stimulated to be, you know, active and functional and healthy, that's the state that we want to preserve, right, over time. So we see, we recommend, you know, for prevention after, you know, 25. But we usually people with like 35, 45, they start seeing like great results because it's when you are starting to accumulate more, you know, damage, but it's still not like so late. Obviously we have like customers that are still, they are already like 50s, 60s, 70s, and they also see results. But again, at some point there is only so much that we can do, right? With this product. I believe in the future we'll have, you know, new discoveries that we can, the age reversal effect can be even more potent. But again, we need to go still, you know, we need still to evolve in terms of making sure that the safety and, you know, the benefits are clear and kind of, you know, calculated to bring this to people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, best, again, never too early or too late to start.
No, I totally agree with that. Two last questions before I leave you. So I guess one, have you done any human studies or human clinical trials, seen any results from that? Because I know it was funny anecdote, real quick. I was trying to buy cream off of just Amazon the other day, and I don't have a particular brand that I use. Now it's, I think, going to be OneSkin, but I literally put in cream and almost all 95% of the results had the branding anti-aging in them. And I was like, this just sounds very gimmicky. Like, what does it actually mean? So I'm curious what results you've been seeing in humans.
Yeah, and we try to avoid as much as possible this, you know, I'd say word anti-aging or claim, because mainly because of that, because we know that 99% of the anti-aging products, they have like no science or no data to really back what their products are doing. And what we have seen in vitro too, that a lot of them, they have a lot of ingredients that cause more harm than good to your skin. So definitely that's not on the, you know, the sector that we see ourselves. We see ourselves on the kind of improving the health of your skin, rejuvenating your of your skin, and kind of a longevity targeted treatment. But sorry, I forgot your question.
The clinical studies.
Yes, so we've done a 12-week clinical study to evaluate both like improvement in the appearance, fine lines, firmness, elasticity, and skin barrier. And this was initially a split phase. So half of the face had the peptide, half of the face didn't have the peptide, more like a basic formulation. And what we found that was very interesting, that the side with the peptide showed a 15 to 18% improvement in the skin barrier. So again, it's showing that when you target like a specific mechanism, in the end, you are improving the function of the skin. And this is also correlated, you know, with improvement in, yeah, in the skin appearance, you know, as a whole, smoothness, the tone of your skin gets more even. But again, we were very happy to see that we are also improving the function of your skin. We also have another study ongoing now where we have subjects. And maybe another thing that's important to mention is that we measure the time points after 6 weeks and after 12 weeks. And after 6 weeks, we already see significant improvements with the product, but it also increases after 12 weeks. Again, you know, reinforcing that the effect, the benefits are cumulative. The second study that we have ongoing is a study that the subjects, they are using the product for 6 months up to a year, and then we are collecting biopsies to measure the change in the biological age by using the product topically. So it'll be very interesting to find how long it takes to really, you know, see change in your biological age by measuring, and you know, the DNA methylation profile. And really validating that, you know, by treating your skin topically, you can reverse the age of your skin. So this should be coming up in the next few months, and I'll be happy to share this data with you.
That would be wonderful. So to clarify, that clock would be testing my biological age just overall, or is it skin specific?
It's biopsy. Skin. So we are collecting biopsies, and yeah, we are compared like treated versus not treated.
Okay. But yeah, very curious to see the results. I think it's great, because I think one thing we haven't touched upon is that, you know, some of the drugs require FDA approval, which takes a really long time to go through, whereas more of a topical supplement, you can actually bring it to consumers, which means it's faster time to actually getting all the signs that you're seeing in terms of aging and longevity and how to at least slow it and reverse it to some extent as well, and bring it to consumers early and who can start benefiting from it instead of going through really long processes and regulations.
Yeah. And we intended to get there to the long processes and regulations. But again, if we can bring some benefits to our consumer, you know, faster, you know, I want that. I know that there is a huge market looking for products that are really effective out there. And unfortunately, no one is really, you know, designing a product to target skin aging. You know, the majority of our products are really a mix of, you know, random ingredients and, you know, if a lot of, I would say, very aggressive claims. But if there is an opportunity here that we can already, you know, improve skin health with a topical product, let's start with that. If obviously if the safety allows us, and then in parallel, let's keep, you know, researching and exploring how we can get this to, you know, potentially treat a specific age-related condition or to, you know, administer this systemically and have a more, I would say, profound effect on your overall health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So what's the future for OneSkin then? Do you have other products in the pipeline?
Yes, we do. So our next product is a product for the body, because again, we are talking about skin health. So that doesn't mean only your face, your hands and neck. We really want to treat your whole body and, you know, preserve and extend the health of your skin. So this is coming up by the end of the year, beginning of next year. So people, I recommend you subscribe to our newsletter so you can, you know, get to know it first when it's available. Second, we plan to add SPF in one of our products. So, you know, we can have both the prevention of, you know, sun damage and the effect of OS1 to help repair sun damage in one product. And then we are also interested in exploring this peptide for what is basically an extension of your skin, your scalp, right? Hair loss and hair thinning and hair growth is also related to aging. And there are several studies showing that the accumulation of senescent cells, it's correlated with hair loss. And that's something that we want to explore in the future, if we can have a treatment for, you know, hair loss and hair growth as well. And in parallel, we have a different version of our peptide. We have a smaller version that we are testing in other conditions, such as metabolic disorders. We are seeing very interesting data, also immunomodulation. So we have some partners that are, you know, researching different models of applications for this molecule that we, you know, eventually want to bring more through the therapeutical route.
That's so exciting. I can't wait to try those products, and I'm sure it's going to benefit a lot of people.
Yeah. We are all excited. We are getting very good, you know, feedback and reviews from our customers. So yeah, we feel that, you know, all of this, you know, work and this vision that we had, you know, it made sense. And yeah, we are excited to keep growing and keep, you know, bringing products that are, you know, scientifically validated to really improve, you know, people's health. And yeah, that's definitely a very, I would say, inspiring and rewarding journey.
That's awesome. So before we end and I tell people where they can find your product, is there anything else you wanted to cover about your company that we may have missed, or aging longevity in general?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about this field in general. You know, when we started like 5 years ago, there were very few companies, and today there are so many companies that's hard to keep up. But I'm seeing that so much of that research is getting to people now, right? Obviously, there are many companies, you know, on the therapeutical area, but there are several companies already providing, you know, diagnostics, how you can measure your biological age, or, you know, other types of supplements. And I think it's super cool to see that type of, you know, science and very, you know, huge quality in terms of, you know, founders and people behind those products coming to consumers and making a difference. So I'm excited for the next year, because I think things will, you know, exponentially change, and we'll be part of, you know, this new era. And hopefully, I mean, aging, or, you know, it's going to be like a number, right? We'll be having our energy and our vitality for many, many years. So, yeah, I think everyone that is, you know, it's around this community is kind of, you know, excited for that.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so optimistic about the space, and it's just so wonderful to, as you said, I mean, feel like I'm 20 when I'm much older.
Yeah.
And also just have more metrics around my personal health, be able to optimize it. I mean, who doesn't want to be healthy? It's just,
yeah,
it's one of those things, like you mentioned earlier, that, you know, all of us age. It's something that's universal. It's literally,
yeah,
a bonding factor where I think almost everyone should come together and fight this, where we say that, yeah, let's all be healthy for longer. I mean, it's wonderful. So
I know, that's exactly the vision that I have for the future. No, if I close my eyes, I see a future is that, you know, you are having fun with your grandchildren, and, you know, you are doing everything that you love, and there is not, you know, those limitations that we see people complaining today, right? I can't do this or that because I'm old. This will be, you know, something that's out of the conversation. So, yeah, I'm very excited for that future, and we are building it, right? It's starting right now, so...
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. So why don't you tell people where they can find your product, where they can sign up your newsletter, how they can connect with OneSkin, reverse skin aging, but also aging in general?
Yes. So people can go to our site, oneskin.co, not.com. Please also, so in our site, if you scroll down on the footer, there is like a space that you can leave your email to get our, you know, newsletter and, you know, different campaigns, and we announce when we have new products. Also follow us on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. And yeah, I mean, we love, you know, hearing what people want us to develop. We love, you know, getting feedback, and we are here, obviously, you know, to serve our community. And yeah, I mean, thank you for this opportunity, Asa. This was so fun. And thank you for this work that you're doing, you know, in curating content and bringing this to so many people out there. So was very fun.
Appreciate it. No, thank you so much for, I mean, the future you're building. So I'm just only happy to put all this wonderful information out there. And yeah, everyone go check out OneSkin. It's awesome. They're changing the future. So thanks again, Carolina, for the time.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed today's episode and learned from it, it would mean a lot if you could show some support and share the podcast with your friends and family. I'd love to spread the science behind aging and longevity to as many people as possible, such that we can all benefit from it and live healthier lives. Additionally, if you enjoy learning about science-backed health optimization, you can check out my newsletter, livelongerworld.substack.com, and my YouTube, which is Live Longer World. You can also support my work by donating on Patreon. I'd like to keep bringing high-quality information to you, and your support certainly helps. Lastly, if you wish to follow me on social media, I am on Twitter @LiveLongerWorld. I also have an Instagram at Longevity Future, where I often post graphics distilling concepts in longevity science or talking about longevity lifestyle hacks. And that's it for now. Stay in good health and catch you next time.